Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with Rosie on the House. As you're tuned in this morning, you're joined by Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau, who's also has a Facebook live stream going on her Facebook page, Julie Murphy. That's M-U-R-P-H-R-E-E.
It is Irish.
You can find that at Rosie on the Rosie on the House Facebook page. We've got a link there. So we talked about the Sossamans and how they got here. How did the Irish Murphys get here?
It's a long story, just like every American story. Now, we actually, on Dad's side of the family, we are kind of from the South, and we migrated through the southern states, Texas, and we ended up here, by the way, same kind of farm family story, because our family farmed pre-statehood. So we've been here for over 100 years, and we did all sorts of crops, just like most of the early settlers did. Tried everything, and we kind of landed mainly on cotton, wheat, and alfalfa. So that's a little bit of our story. That's the condensed version.
The Reader's Digest version. As we went into break, we had started to talk about Hayden Mills.
Right.
And the mill's still there last I drove by.
It is.
Right on Mill and Rio Salado, right?
Right at the river there, yeah.
Right at the butte. And at HaydenFlourMills.com, they've got a link there to our story.
Right.
And according to the legend, it was in 1868, Charles Hayden, I'm assuming relative of Carl Hayden?
Probably. We'll be told, we'll get corrected if we're not right.
We'll get the proper lineage
right.
On his family history here. But he was making his way north and was stopped because the Salt River was flooded.
Right.
So he just climbed up on the butte there where they've got the ASUA. And was just hanging out, waiting for the water to reside so he could cross. And while he was sitting up there, he was looking at all the water and thought, you know what? This would be a pretty good place to farm.
Right.
And 150 plus years later, it's still there.
It's still there. But the Hayden's Flour Mills now, today, Jeff Zimmerman, and go to the website to get the accurate story on it, but Jeff Zimmerman, this young gentleman decided, you know, there's such a heritage and a history here with our grain, and I love the idea of the ancient grains, and I think he'd gone to some of our neat local restaurants that were baking some really amazing bread, I believe, with the ancient grain, and we've got Chris Bianco of Bianco's. You guys, I think, are familiar with him. He just loves this ancient grain, and so Jeff Zimmerman and a few of them got together and they said, we can do this. We can talk some of our farmers into doing this. And that happened to be one of the farm families is the Sossamans. And I think there's a handful of other farm families. And now that whole, he's branded that now, Hayden's Flours Mill. And that is, you literally can go to the website, get more of the story, and then find out more about what's going on. It's really
You had mentioned you can find those flours, the Hayden flour, at AJ's, but it's
right.
Also, I've seen it at Sprouts.
Oh, good.
At Whole Foods. And one of my favorite little places, the Sphinx Date Ranch, also has a whole bunch of their things. I bought some chickpea flour there the other day. For anybody who's gluten-free, they also have a few things.
And I was going to try to get away yesterday and at least get a couple bags so that I could kind of show around, but didn't get to it. But it's really good flour, and you can really make some great products from it and some great bread. So
just a lot more flavor than just the bags of
right.
white, bleached,
right.
generic
flour.
GMO flour. Yeah.
Actually, though, I have to correct you on one thing.
Okay, do it.
There is no biotech wheat or GMO wheat.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. We only have 8 crops that are actually the biotech. And I probably won't remember all of them, but like cotton, alfalfa is. We've got sugar beets and a few other crops, but
corn?
We have filled corn, yes, that's GMO biotech, but no wheat.
No wheat. That's good to know.
It hasn't been brought to market yet, and I don't think they're even experimenting with it.
You also mentioned that the process of their milling is slower, so it also preserves more of the flavor.
Right.
So if you're yielding twice the average bushel per yield, why would you mess with that?
Well, and that might be part of it. I've also heard, too, that wheat, believe it or not, as a plant and a product to biotech is a little bit more challenging is one of the impressions I got on that. But my wheat farmers could probably give me more insights. But there is no currently GMO wheat. So even your traditional flour that you get in the grocery store, you won't have to worry about that. If that's your worry, I don't think it's a worry. I celebrate biotech and GMOs. But if that's a worry for someone, and I respect that, but they won't have to worry about it for their flour or their wheat.
Interesting. And so what's then the ancient grain? So what's makes the ancient grain so special if there's none that have been
Right. Well, part of it, because there's not been any hybridization. With plant breeding, you can hybridize even some of your older varieties. And just because of the different varieties, this is where we need Jeff Zimmerman, if he'd come on to our Facebook Live and give us a few more insights. To me, it's a taste and flavoring thing. And there are some nutrient perks, so to speak, that I've been told on some of our ancient grains that are a little bit distinct from even some of our modern day grains. Because like our, we have so many varieties of grains that we can produce, and it just gives us as consumers another option of different flavors that we can produce in our grains.
And that would include other things other than just wheat. I mean, there's barley, there's oats, right? There's other things involved.
I think they call it farro or farro, F-A-R-R-O, is one of the ancient grains. Quinoa, I believe, is considered one of those.
And big deal right now.
Right. We're a lot more
familiar. Lots of protein there.
Yes. We're a lot more proficient in understanding that one because it's become a little bit more popular. So to me, it's a taste issue. If we don't have that variety, then there's, especially for our chefs and in-home chefs, we want to cook with a lot of variety, which is good too because then we have a mix of nutrients also.
So we are so blessed with the variety of food and the health that we can enjoy when we choose our foods like that.
We are. We are absolutely blessed.
And you can find those by going to fillyourplate.org. It's a website that the Arizona Farm Bureau has put together. You know, y'all are an advocate group for the farming industry, but then you also had the foresight to say, you know what, we need to let people know where to buy our products locally. The more support we get in the community locally, just the better that is for everybody.
Right.
And you go to fillyourplate.org, and right there on the home, it says find a farm product. And when you click on your product selection, do you know how many are on there?
We have a boatload. Oh. It's a lot. But one of the things we do too on Fill Your Plate is our blogs. And if somebody goes into the search window on it's a little bit below the main homepage, and you just click on the Fill Your Plate blog. And you can put in ancient grains. And one of our articles, it's called 20 Ways to Incorporate Ancient Grains into Your Recipes. And so we highlight the different ancient grains that exist and that we actually grow. There's a amaranth, I think is how they say it, the buckwheat, millet, quinoa, and some others. And within each one of those categories, we've also listed different recipes that our Arizona families can try. And that can kind of introduce them to some of these amazing grains that we have available now because some of our farmers, like the Sossamans, are growing them.
It is a great resource, that web page, isn't it?
We actually are producing three times a day posting different articles so that our farm families and our Arizona families can kind of discover the whole diversity and range of our agriculture here in Arizona.
$17 billion industry between farmers and ranchers, the entire agricultural department. That's, I don't know how that compares to other states and as how it relates to ratio of land to production, but I don't think if you went out on the street with a microphone and asked people, how big of an agricultural impact Arizona State have? No one would guess
nobody would guess at all. I mean, if you compare us to a California or a Florida, but look at their land mass. And as a Western state, like so many of our Western states, we have so much in federal and state land. So, but we're doing a lot of farming on our tribal lands. We're doing a lot of farming on our private lands. So that's one of the things that makes it a little bit smaller. I think California and Florida are quadruple that in terms of size. But $17 billion for a desert state with land mass limitations, it's amazing that we can produce those kind of numbers.
With an average rainfall across a state of less than 7 inches.
Right, right. And I think one of my farmers that was on the live stream from Yuma, their average is only 3.3 inches in Yuma. So we definitely have to irrigate, whether it's a small organic farm in an urban area. They have to apply water. It has to be irrigated. Or it's one of our large produce farms in Yuma. And right now, beginning this month, all the way through March, we are the winter lettuce and produce capital of the nation, and really the world, considering how much we produce in just Yuma County right now.
We are so spoiled with our produce departments at the store. When our daughter Julia moved to Minneapolis, to go to the store in the winter is a lot different than it is here. We hardly know if it's summer or winter based on our produce departments, but you know other places.
Yes. Yeah. If we're, again, I know I quoted that earlier, planting and harvesting 12 months out of the year in Arizona, you can't claim that in the Midwest. And, you know, I celebrate local, and we need local, and we have it here in Arizona, but if my family in the Midwest, I'm going to go visit some of my cousins this winter, or some of my family in the West wants the fresh produce that I get, they need to depend on Yuma. And so I love Yuma for that very fact.
And I bet a lot of the Yuma farmers are singing praises right now that the snow's finally fallen in the mountains.
Right.
That water they're getting out of the river comes from the Rockies, and that snowpack is pretty critical.
It is, and we've got good water in Yuma, and we've got good farmers utilizing it to feed the rest of us. I adore my farmers and ranchers. They're my heroes. They're our unsung heroes, and I think we're getting better at recognizing the contribution they make to our industry. But they're very important to you and I, because I want to eat every day.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people travel through Yuma on the way to the beach and the coast to you know, next time you take that, take an hour. You know,
right.
A lot of people stop and fill up. Yuma's kind of your halfway point, and there isn't a whole lot to see from Phoenix to Yuma or Casa Grande to Yuma. There's not a whole lot to see from Yuma to L.A. or whatever city you're headed to by the time you get to Palm Springs is what I was trying to think of. Take an hour to just drive around there. The amount of agriculture is, I mean, it goes on. It seems endless.
It is amazing. I always tell, if you, again, are there through November through March, get off the beaten path, drive around slowly. It's the winter, so you're not going to get, you won't be hot. Roll down the windows and just smell that fresh produce. It literally does smell like a salad bowl. It's a neat smell. It's a crisp, fresh smell.
Earthy.
It's earthy.
Nice.
It's earthy.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U, or text to 411-923 if you have a question for Julie here as we go into our last segment. And this next one's going to be a lot of fun because we're going to incorporate farming with the Arizona staycation, where you can go visit farm tours, where you can find farmers markets.